بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فمرحبا بكم يا طلاب العلم، وفقني الله وإياكم للعلم النافع والعمل الصالح. نواصل الحديث في كتاب الأدب المفرد. We continue our discussion that we have begun from the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Who was the author of this book? Who was the مؤلف?
Bukhari.
Al-Bukhari. What's his name?
Muhammad ibn
Ismail. What's his kunya? Abu Abdullah. Allahumma barik. What is his laqab? Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. When did he die? Al-Bukhari.
265.
Backwards.
256.
Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He has another book also, more than one book. Who can name one more book that Bukhari has? We have one that we're studying now, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Who knows a name of another book of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah? Sahih Al-Bukhari. Sahih Al-Bukhari, that's right. Al-Jami' Al-Musnad Al-Sahih Al-Mukhtasir Fi Amuri Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallama Wa Sunanihi Wa Ayyamih. Naam, Sahih Al-Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he has begun this book about manners. He has begun it with the chapter of Birr al-Walidaini. Why? Is there a benefit in that? What is the benefit of that?
Being nice.
Being nice to your parents. But the book is about manners. The book is about etiquettes. The book is about how to conduct oneself and how to act. You have to smile. Smiling is having good manners? طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ نَعْمٍ مِنْ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ and also from the adab of Islam is how to eat. You eat with, you say Bismillah, and you eat with your right hand, and you eat with from that which is near to you. Also from the good manners of Islam is that you pardon people, and that you forgive people. And also from the good manners of Islam is that you talk nice to the people, and you say good words. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And you say nice words to the people. And also that you deal with the people in a good way, and that you're honest, and that you don't lie. All of this is from the good manners of al-Islam. Min al-adab al-Islamiyya al-Shar'iyya. Okay, so what is the benefit from beginning with the manners? What is the benefit from beginning with the parents, excuse me, beginning the manners with the parents? Naam? We have a book all about manners. All about manners, different types of manners, so many different good manners that are legislated in the deen of Allah. But Al-Bukhari, he didn't begin with being truthful, rahimahullah. He didn't begin with talking nicely. He didn't begin with pardoning the people. He didn't begin with dealing justly with the people. He didn't begin with the manners of sitting, or the manners of eating, or the manners of dress. He didn't begin with the manners of walking, or the manners with regards to the rights of the neighbors. He didn't begin with these manners. But what did he begin with? The manners?
Obeying the parents.
Of obeying and being nice and kind to the parents. What is the wisdom behind that? The benefit that we have seen. What is Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah wa ta'ala trying to tell us?
Because the parents have the most...
He's telling us, rahimahullah ta'ala, that all of the manners that you're going to study in this book, and for somebody who is a student of knowledge, and he begins to study al-adab al-shar'iyya, the legislative manners, that he will learn many different etiquettes and many good ways with regards to actions, and with regards to speech and conduct, and how one carries himself, and one acts and moves. But the one who has the most right from the people for these manners to be used with and applied with are the parents. So all of the manners, after we finish, inshallah, the manners of Birr al-Walidain, everything that we learn after that, the mother and the father, they have the most right for us to use those manners with them. And this is something that people must understand, because so many people, they have good manners with their friends and good manners with their companions, but whenever it comes to their parents, what do they have? Sometimes they have bad manners. And they choose the best words and the best speech, and they say such nice things to their friends, but whenever they speak to their mother, they're rude and they're foul. And they talk back, and they speak to them in a bad way. And we know that if we spoke to our friends in that same way, then our friends would not be friends with us anymore. But for some reason, we do that to the parents. And this is a major sin. And this is what Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is trying to inform us. Nuridu an nastamirra fi ad-dars wa la nunabbi ala hadha wa kadha wa kadha. Fa intabihi hatta la nadhhab kharij ad-dars. طيب انتبهي بنتي اها نسأل الله عز وجل أن يرزقنا حسن النية وحسن الهدي والسمت ها جميل الأخلاق والأداب اللهم اهدينا إلى أحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت آمين طيب. We ask Allah to guide us to the good manners. And nobody can guide us to the good manners except for Allah. And we ask Allah to turn us away from the bad manners. And nobody can turn the bad manners away from us and help us to do good except for Allah. So we ask Him alone to help us and to aid us and to guide us. So we have seen that Bukhari, he began for this reason. The parents, the great right of the parents. And if we look into the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, we will see that also Allah, He began that way as well. And whenever he discussed the affairs of the parents. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has begun that way in more than one verse, mentioning his right first, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then after that, the right of the parents. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned the right of Allah, and then coupled the mention of that with the right of the parents, and more than one hadith. And also we have seen that Bukhari, after mentioning the right of the parents, he specified the mention of the mother. And likewise, the Quran also, whenever it mentions the rights of the parents, after mentioning the rights of the parents, Allah mentions specifically the rights of the mother. And Allah mentions three reasons why. And we have remember those reasons. That's because the mother carried the baby and gave birth to the baby and breastfed the baby. And there are many other things likewise, but these are specific to that which the mother did and the father did not do. But the father likewise has a great right, and because of this, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, after that he began, after mentioning the right of the mother, he mentioned the right of the father. After that, he mentioned the right of the father. And this is where we have left in our previous class. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now he says, Babu lin al-kalami liwaridayhi. Babu lin al-kalam li waridayhi. Anybody who is following along with the actual text of Al-Adab al-Mufrad will notice that we have skipped some narrations and even some chapters. And this is because, as we have mentioned in our methodology, in our manhaj, in this subject, in this class, Al-Adab al-Shar'iyya, the Awlad al-Muslimin, we will make a summarized version of that and use from this book as a guideline in general, but not follow it entirely, and we will summarize it and pick and select that which is suitable and beneficial for the students and the ages of the children. Therefore, we see that now we read from the chapter of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala fi kitabihi Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Babu lin al-kirami liwaridayhi. Babu lin Al-Kalami liwaridayhi, the chapter of having soft speech with the parents. Soft speech. This is the name of the chapter. We remember something also about Al-Imam al-Bukhari and chapter titles. What was that? There was something in the previous classes that we discussed about Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and the chapter titles in his books, particularly Sahih al-Bukhari, but likewise we find it here. And many of al-Musannifun, تبعوه في ذلك بعده. Many of the The scholars who have authored works follow him in that after that. And that is that Bukhari, he would put his understanding, the fiqh that he had of the deen of Allah, the blessing of the light of knowledge that Allah bestowed upon him, where can we find that? In his works. Because al-Bukhari, in the majority of his works, in the works of hadith specifically, he doesn't mention any statements from himself. Rather, he mentions hadathani, hadathana, hadathana, hadathani, sami'tu, wa hakadha. He mentions narrations with chains. But the understanding that Bukhari has of these narrations can be found in the chapter titles and also in the arrangement of those chapters. Now, like this, the ulama, they say, فِقْهُ الْبُخَارِ فِي تَرَاجُمِهِ فِي تَرَاجِمِهِ فِي تَرَاجِمِهِ فِقْهُ الْبُخَارِ فِي تَرَاجِمِهِ. Now, that the understanding of Bukhari can be found in the chapter titles. In the chapter titles of the chapters of the books that are found in these particular works. Babu lin al kirami li walidayhi. This is the chapter with regards to having soft and gentle speech with the parents. Meaning, the obligation of that. The clarification of the obligation of that. Now, nurid al kitaba and tukuna bil qalam al aadi. ليس بالقلم العريض markers ها لأن قد يلعب الشيطان بينا أثناء الدرس فيفوت ها الطالب فيفوت الطالب فوائد عديدة فيفوت الطالب فوائد عديدة. نعم, we write with the pen please or a pencil. بارك الله فيكم حتى ننتبه حتى ننتبه حتى ننتبه. Huh? وإذا شو إذا ت... يعني لم ينتبه الطالب فإنه يشوش على الأستاذ ويسوب عليه التفكر والتأمل والكلام. Whenever the students are not paying attention, it disturbs the teacher and it makes it hard for the teacher to think and to remember and the likes. And we have to remember the place that we are in and the situation that we are facing, and we were sitting down with a book from the books of hadith that is full of the statements of the best man, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're teaching the deen that he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah that he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was sent with revelation from the Lord of the worlds tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we are in the place that he was with his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So we have to have respect and honor for the knowledge that is in front of us. And knowledge, and we have to have respect for those who present the knowledge, and they have inherited the benefit of knowledge from the prophets. عليهم الصلاة والسلام. باب لين الكلام لوالديه. باب لين الكلام لوالديه. The chapter with regards of being nice, having a gentle and nice, soft speech with the parents. Okay, just for a second, not thinking about parents, just think about anybody. Who likes for people to have soft speech with them, to talk nice to them? Who likes that? Do you like when your sister talks nice to you with soft words? Your brother, your friend, your mother, your father? Who likes for people to have harsh speech with them and rude speech and to speak aloud to them and yell? Or to be mean to them with their speech and the likes. Who likes that?
Not
who likes their sister to do that?
Not
their brother, their mother, their father. Nobody likes for people to talk bad to them. Nobody likes for people to use harsh words with them. Nobody likes for people to raise their voice to them. This is not what people like. And Allah, He command the opposite of that. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Nam, and say good words to the people. This is in general. So if we have to say good words to the people, then the parents, they even have more right to that. If you don't like for people to talk bad to you or be harsh to you, then of course your mother doesn't like that. If you don't like for people to talk bad to you and belittle you in speech and talk bad about you, then of course your father, he does not like that. So we see that in general, the people, they like for others to speak to them with soft words and with nice words and with kind words. And this is from the good manners of a believer, that his tongue, it's accustomed to saying good words. And that a believer strives, even if he's small, even if he's young, to not say bad words and to not say bad things and to not talk to other people in a bad manner. Some people, they talk, when they talk to other people, they talk to them like they're nothing. They talk to that other person like that person is nothing at all. and like that person is a fool and doesn't know anything, and this is a bad way. Even if that person was a fool, and even if that person did not know anything, that's not how we should talk to the people. وَإِذَا قَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Whenever the ignorant people, they speak to the righteous, they don't speak ignorantly, like back to them. They say words that's good, and words that's far from being bad and being sinful. So, from the good way of a believer is that he checks his tongue, and that she checks her tongue. And from the good Muslim is that he says words of kindness and goodness, especially to the parents. Babu lin al-kalami liwalidayhi. The chapter of being or having soft speech to the parents. To the parents. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a narration with his chain to Taysala ibn Mayyas. Taysala ibn Mayyas, he's from the Tabi'in. He's from the Tabi'in. Who are they? The students of? The students of the companions. So Taysala rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, قَالَ كُنْتُ مَعَ النَّجَدَاتِ. He said, I used to be with النَّجَدَاتِ. النَّجَدَاتِ, they're a group of the Khawarij, a deviant sect, from those deviant Muslims who try to fight the believers and try to kill the Muslims. And they're misguided and they misunderstand the Quran and they misunderstand the Sunnah. So Taysala, he's saying that he used to be with them, and he has some companions from them. And we will see what happens if you have companions from the misguided people. They will have an effect on you. And this is what happened to Taysala. انتبه بيت. يقول فيصلة, طيصلة, excuse me, he says, فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر. So Taysala, he's telling us now, don't do that. Taysala is telling us now that he used to be with some bad people. And those bad people affected him. The Khawarij, what do they do? What is their creed? The Khawarij think that if somebody does a sin, that he's going to be in the hellfire forever, even if he's a Muslim. The Khawarij think if somebody does a big sin, that Allah will never forgive them. That Allah will never forgive him. This is not right. If anybody does any sin, and then he'll ask Allah to forgive him, then Allah will forgive him. Even if a Muslim does a major sin that's not shirk, and then he dies upon that, even if Allah punishes him in the hellfire, he will go to Jannah. All Muslims, they go to Jannah. Some Muslims go to Jannah right away with no punishment, and we ask Allah from His mercy and grace. Other Muslims, they go to Jannah after they get punished in the hellfire and cleansed. So the people who go into Jannah are two types, two groups. And the people who go in the hellfire are two groups. The people who go in the Jannah, there are those who go right in, straight away, no problem. No punishment, no reckoning, and they go right into Jannah. And there are other people who go into Jannah too, but they don't get to go in right away. First, they meet Allah with sins, and they meet Allah with disobedience, and they have to be clean, because the souls with bad things on it can't go to Jannah. Only pure souls go to Jannah. So those people who did not pure themselves in this life with obedience and with tawbah, then they will be purified in the hellfire. So long as they're Muslims. Likewise, the people who enter the hellfire are two types. There are people who enter the hellfire and they never get out. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارَجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And they're the disbelievers, the people who die upon shirk and disbelief, the people who die upon Christianity and Judaism, the people who die upon Buddhism, the people who disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how much money they have, they will never get out of the hellfire. No matter how many likes they have on Facebook, they'll never get out of the fire if they die upon disbelief. So we should not be deceived. The other type of people who go into the hellfire, there are people who go in there for a time appointed, and they're believers. People who are considered muwahideen. They're people of it, tawheed. But they have sins. And they died upon sins. Ayyadhan billah. And they will be put in the hellfire too. But not the same way. Not forever. Not in the same punishment. Not in the punishment of the disbelievers and humiliation. But they will be punished in the fire until they are cleaned. Until they are cleaned and purified. We understand that? But the Khawarij, what was their creed? Their creed was that if you die upon sin, they're going to be in the hellfire forever, no matter what. No matter what. Even if he said La ilaha illallah, even if he prayed, even if he was a Muslim, but he just had some sins, if he died like that, he's finished, he'll never go to Jannah. That's what they say. That's what they say. If somebody did major sins, he said, he's not even a Muslim. Let's kill him. That's what they say. Let's kill him. They try to kill him. They're bad. They're bad. They're really bad. Taysara, rahimahullah, he was with these people. And they appeared in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, in the time of Uthman, at the end of the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu, especially in the time of Ali. And they appeared in the early days of the Muslims. Radiallahu and as-sahabati ajma'in. From them is this group called An-Najadat. An-Najadat, they're ascribed to a man named Najd ibn Amr. And he was a Khariji. And the first time they appeared was in Harura. So they're called also the Haruriyya. He's from them. And he was from, and he had companions from them. So now he says, I did some sins. And I did not think, except they were major sins. He fell into some sins. And he thinks in himself that they're major sins. Okay? So he's afraid for himself. He's afraid for himself. He thinks he did the major sins. And for those people, whoever does that, what they believe and their misguided belief, whoever does major sins, he's not a Muslim no more. He's not a Muslim no more. Okay. So what happened to Taysala? He said, Rahimahullah, فَذَكَرْتُ ذَٰلِكَ لِبْنِ عُمَرٍ. He said, so I mentioned that to Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. قَالَ مَا هِيَ. He said, what are those sins that you think are major sins? قُلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. He said, I did this and I did that. قَالَ لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ مِنَ الْكِبَارِ. He said, these are not even major sins. These are not even major sins. What caused him to think that they are major sins? Why did he think they're major sins? Because he was mixed up with those people, the Khawarij, who have a very bad understanding, and they have a misguided understanding, and the source of their misguidance is that they don't have the understanding of the companions, and this has led them to be extreme. They're extremist. They go to extremes. So now they think somebody does a sin, a major sin, he's in the hellfire. Even they think some sins that are not even major sins are major sins. This doesn't mean that we should belittle the sins, but we should know that some sins are greater than others. That some sins are greater than others. So he did some sins that are lesser than the major sins, but because of his understanding, he thought they're major sins. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave him success. What was the success that Allah gave to Taysara? فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لِبْنِ عُمَرٍ. He said, I mentioned that to Ibn Umar. Allah gave him success and guided him to go ask the people of knowledge, the sound and upright people of knowledge and understanding. So this was a blessing from Allah for Taysara, that he was guided to the people of knowledge. And this is something that we should remember. If we ever have any misunderstanding in the deen, or if something is not clear to us, or if something does not seem correct, or we hear something that we don't understand in the hadith, or for example in the Quran, or somebody mentions a ruling and we don't understand it, it's not clear, or even maybe sometimes our mind might misunderstand it, what should we do? Figure it out by ourselves. La, we should always ask the people of knowledge. Ask the people of knowledge. The people who are known for upright knowledge and creed, and also known for upright manners and the likes. And we ask them, and we get guidance from them by the permission of Allah. So Ibn Umar, he told him, he says, these aren't even major sins. He says, Hunna tis'a, the major sins are nine. Hunna tis'a, the major sins are nine. This is a good time for a student to write. The major sins are nine. One, number one. He doesn't say number one, but he just mentioned them. But I'll say for you number one, so it's easy for you. Al-ishraku billah. To make shirk with Allah. To associate partners with Allah and worship. Number two, he says, wa qatlu nasamatin. And to kill somebody. To kill a soul. Unrightfully. Wal-firaru min az-zahf. And also to flee from the enemy. Because one is scared of death and he's a coward in battle to flee from the enemy. This is also from them. That's number three. Number four, قَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَةِ. Number four is to blame a righteous woman unrightfully. To say she does bad things, like has boyfriends and she doesn't. And to lie about her, to claim these bad things about her. Nam, this is a major sin. وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى, and also taking interest. وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, and also taking unrightfully the wealth of the orphan. وَإِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, وَإِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, إِلْحَاد in the masjid, this means to teach bid'ah, and to do bid'ah in the masjid, and to do sins in the masjid. And we should know that doing sins in bid'ah anywhere is very, very bad, but it's even worse to do it in the masjid. Even some people, a'udhu billah, you know what, they build their masjids on bid'ah. This is a major sin. إِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Based on this, let me see. Somebody says, we want to gather money to build a masjid. And we look at them and they do innovation. And their way is the way of innovation. And they're following a deviant sect like Sufis, for example. Or Jamaat al-Tabligh. Is it permissible to help them build a masjid? Nah, it's a major sin. If they did ilhad in the masjid, they did bid'ah in the masjid, and they said about Allah, a lie in the masjid, which their deen is, that's what they do, they're innovators. Then this is a major sin. So how can we help them? Huh? Allah, He says, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate upon sin and transgression. From the greatest sin and transgression, like we see here, major sin. إِلْحَادٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Doing innovation. Doing innovation and making up stuff in the deen and lying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying that he did this and he did that and his deen is like this and his deen is like that, and it was not from it. For example, somebody wants to have a birthday party in the masjid. Can we help them do that? Awdhu billah. Abadan. Abadan. Ilhadun fil masjid. Major sin. Major sin. Major sin. What are the yastaskhir? Intabihu. What are the yastaskhir? You know what? I want to back up. Who is talking right now? Huh? Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar is talking right now. Uh-huh. So what kind of hadith is this? Mawquf. Hadith al-mawquf. Hadith al-mawquf. Hadith hadha mansubun ila Ibn Umar. Huwa al-qail. Lahu. Ibn Umar, he is the one who is talking now. So this is an example of the hadith al-mawquf. Naam. Okay, so what does Ibn Umar, he say? Huh? وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرْ. وَالَّذِي يَسْتَسْخِرْ. What is يَسْتَسْخِرْ? الْاِسْتِسْخَارْ. يعني سُخْرِيَة. وَالْاِسْتِهْزَاء. The one who belittles other people and talks bad about them. And he mocks them and mimics them. It's major sin. The one who mocks the other people and he mimics them. Huh? And or the one who he does that to them. Or the one who makes other people do it. And some people, they want to make other people laugh. You know how they make them laugh? They talk bad about others. Huh? And this is very bad. Especially, for example, if somebody said like this. Oh, look at that. Look at that kid's nose. Oh, it's so big. Oh, look at that kid's face. Oh, look how his face. This is even worse. You know why? First is sukhriya. First is talking bad about that person. Then he's a Muslim talking bad about a Muslim. Then if he hurts you and makes his heart sad. Oh, even worse to making a Muslim sad. Huh? But even worse than that, he's talking about how he was created. Who gave him that nose? Huh? Did he pick that nose out for himself? Huh? Did he create that nose for him? Who gave him that nose? Allah created that nose for him. So now if somebody doesn't like his nose, it's like they don't like the creation of Allah. Huh? So we have to be careful about these affairs. As-sukhriya, wa istihzaa, to mock other people and to talk bad about them. This is never the way of a believer. To talk down about them and to say bad things about them and to make them feel bad. This is not the way of a Muslim, a good Muslim. This is a major sin. This is from those nine major sins that Ibn Umar, he's mentioning here. Radiallahu anhu. Huh? What do they call that today? Huh? They have a name, they call it. Today, the kids. Huh? What do they call that? Huh? Roasting. They call it roasting. Huh? That's sukhriya, belittling them and mocking them, talking bad about them, saying bad things about them. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. You can't do that. You can't do that. Huh? It's not nice. Tayyib, here comes the point. What is that? That was number nine. That was number eight, right? Here comes number nine. What did he say? Radiallahu anhu. Buka'ul walidaini min al-uquq. To make the parents cry because of disobedience. And some kids, they are disobedient and it makes their parents not happy and upset. And some kids that keep being disobedient all the way until the mom cries. I say, why are you crying, mom? Oh, because you disobey me and you're mean and you're rude to me. Alhamdulillah, that's very bad. And then if the dad cries too, even worse. The parents, both of them are crying because of how bad the manners of the kid. This is not good. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. We have to be careful. And this is the point here. Huh? From the major sins is what? Huh? To disobey the parents, huh? And to make them cry. To make them cry. So we have to be careful. Now, and we're going to see something very important about this narration, inshallah, when we study the benefits. And that is, there's a difference between a minor sin and a major sin. And how to remove them. How to remove the minor sins is different on how to remove the major sins. But we should never have despair, because Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafur, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim bi'ibadihi. And He is at Tawab, and He accepts the repentance. But there's a way to repent from the major sins, and a way to repent from the minor sins. So this is something we will study, inshallah. Taib, we understand. Who can repeat the nine major sins that Ibn Umar, he mentioned? Huh? Number one. Commit shirk.
To kill somebody
unlawfully, unrightfully, damn.
To flee from the enemy
in battle.
To blame a righteous woman.
Uh-huh, of bad things. Uh-huh. Taking interest, riba. Uh-huh.
Taking
the wealth of the orphan unrightfully. Mubarak. How many is that? Uh-huh. How many is left? Okay, what are they? Ilhadun fil masjid. Roasting people, that's right. You got some fun. I know the kid's going to remember that one now. So now we don't roast people, huh? Allahu al-musta'an. Ilhadun fil masjid. What does that mean, ilhadun fil masjid?
Bid'ah.
Doing bid'ah, but not only bid'ah, also sins. Doing sins in the masjid. Bid'ah in the masjid. For example, like you said, roasting. After that was sukhriya, sah? Sukhriya, talking bad about people, laughing at people, and speaking down on people, roasting people. That's bad. In the masjid, it's worse. Ilhadun fil masjid. Huh? It's worse. It's worse. Ilhadun fil masjid, it means to do innovation in the masjid. Also, it means to disobey Allah. Any type of action contrary to the legislation. Disobeying Allah in the masjid, even worse. For example, listening to music, huh? Is that good? What about listening, a'udhu billah? What about doing it in the masjid?
No.
A'udhu billah. What about during salat?
No.
Even, a'udhu billah. This, you know that this happens in the masjid sometimes because of negligence and ignorance. Sometimes we say ignorance of some of the Muslims, or even sometimes negligence of some of the Muslims. And even some of them, they love to have it. And they get exposed. And their phones ring and during the prayer, and it comes on some songs during the prayer. And wallahi, it used to happen in Masjid al-Nabawi. And I remember this. In Masjid al-Nabawi. In Masjid al-Haram. Wallahi, I heard myself, I'm praying salat, obligatory prayer, in the most sacred places in the world. And you will hear music. You will hear some rap music. Or sometimes some techno music. Going all of a sudden, jang, 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 next to you. A'udhu billah, you're in sujood. Wallahi, al-Imam al-Hudayfi. Hafidhullah, more than one time. After Salat, he stood up and gave a talk. And he is mad. And he was like, you need to fear Allah. Ashabul Jawalat. Like that. All you people of the phones, you need to fear Allah. Even one time I remember, he's like, you should be careful. Maybe somebody's going to make dua against you for ruining their prayer. And ruining their khushu and their prayer. Like hinting, like, you know, maybe he's going to make dua against you. Because you're in prayer. And the next thing you know, some guy with it, it's already hard enough to focus and strive against your own soul to have khushu and to remember Allah. And then you have somebody bringing some rap music in the masjid, or some different music in the masjid, or any kind of music in the masjid. A'udhu billah, even if it's just a ring, ding ding, like the sound of ringing sound. That's all. If it has a tone, it's all considered music. Even Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, if you take a rock and you beat it, on another rock, or a stick on something, and do it in a melody, that's called music. Huh? That's called music. This is all haram. ومن الناس ما يشتري له الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذ هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين. From the people, there are those. What do? They buy they purchase the vain talk, and they try to mislead people from the straight path without knowledge. And this person, he will have a humiliating punishment. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said it's music. 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 And they said that music is the voice of shaitan. Huh? So, yani, the point is, what is it? Ilhadun fil masjid. Ilhadun fil masjid. So having music, for example, in the masjid, this is haram. This is haram. And in salat, even worse. Even worse. Even worse. We have to be careful. That's a major sin. Huh? Even some kids, subhanAllah, you see them playing video games in the masjid. You can't play video games in the masjid. Huh? Al-masjid la tubna li hadha. The masjid are not built for that. You can't bring your phone in the masjid and then open up some video game. And even some of the video games are haram inside and outside the masjid. And even some of them are shirk inside and outside the masjid. Then they bring, and the masjid is even worse. A'udhu billah. May Allah guide the children of the believers. May Allah guide the parents of the believers. No, ilhadun fil masjid. Disobedience in the masjid is major sin. Made even worse in the masjid. Ahabul biqa ilallahi wa ahabul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. The most beloved places to Allah are the masajid. How could somebody be music in the masjid? Do you think that if we told the Muslims about 100 years ago, like for example, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. He died in 1206. Right now it's 1442. What do you think he would think if we said, yeah, Shaykh, wallahi, they're going to start playing music in the masjid during salat. He lived over 100 years ago. What do you think he's going to say? No way. In the masjid? We say, wallahi, in masjid haram, the Muslims are going to start playing music in the masjid while they're in prayer. You think he's going to, he probably couldn't even comprehend that. No way. But wallahi, it's happening right now. Even in Masjid al-Haram, the Muslim bring music in the masjid. You think it's not held accountable for that? Yeah, he's held accountable for that. Ilhadun fil masjid, a'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. We're on the subject, we might as well say it. Even if somebody did not have music on their phone, and it's just a regular ringtone that's permissible, and it goes off during the prayer, this is not good. It's not good. You have to be responsible for this thing. And to bring that in the masjid in the time when the people are in the prayer. And then all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. And then if it happened one time, somebody slipped, yani after that he should feel shy. But to keep doing it every time, yeah, ilhadun fil masjidi. The point here, the author, he mentioned this narration, what was it? Buka'ul waridaini min al-uquq. Buka'ul waridaini min al-uquq. Making the parents cry because of disobedience. Making the parents cry because of disobedience. There are some benefits that we want to learn from this narration. Inshallah, we continue with those in our next class. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.